The gospel tells us today about the preaching of St. John the Baptist, the great precursor of our Lord. We hear how he came out of the desert and began telling people to give up their sins because the Savior was at hand. He must have been a sight to see. He had lived in the desert since he was a small child, according to tradition, probably since he was about 6 years old. And he had lived on nothing but locusts and wild honey. So he must have had the emaciated appearance of a starving man. And his clothing was camel skins, probably taken from camel carcasses that he had come across in his wanderings in the desert. And his skin had been just burned through and through by the sun over the years. We think of a cowboy or a mountain man or someone who has spent his whole life outdoors and how dark and rough and cracked their skin is. And these people are usually better clothed than St. John the Baptist was. So he must have been in even worse condition than what we imagine. For practically his whole life, for all those years, he had had no company except God. He didn't want any other company. He was in the desert to be with God, and that was enough for him. And this is the secret as to why people came to listen to him. People ordinarily don't pay much attention to what a homeless person like St. John the Baptist has to say about anything, especially not the rich and the powerful, and people who have other things to do with their time. But it says in Scripture that people from all walks of life came to see him and to listen to him, even the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And it seems to imply in Scripture that people gave a lot of weight to what he said. So why did they come and listen to him? It was the grace of the Holy Ghost, of course, that sent so many people to him. But God usually works through natural causes to get the results that he wants. And I think in this case, people were impressed by the way St. John the Baptist lived so completely for God. I think anybody, even probably a complete pagan or an atheist, who heard about someone who spent his entire life from his early childhood in the desert praying to God all the time, we'd want to go and hear what he has to say and hear the words of wisdom that would come from his mouth. And anyone could just tell by looking at him that he was for real, just from his appearance alone. When you combine all of this with the fact that Israel hadn't had a prophet in 400 years and were yearning for another one, you understand why St. John the Baptist attracted such a large following and why so many people wanted to hear him. So what did St. John the Baptist say to all these people? He told them to repent of their sins. He didn't tell them to do anything extraordinary like he did. They didn't have to live their lives in the desert and eat locusts and bake in the sun every day for the rest of their lives. No, instead, he just told them to live in the state of life that they already had, but to do it well and without committing sin, and to turn away from the sins that they had already committed. And he gave specific advice to different groups of people. He tells the tax collectors not to charge people too much. He tells the soldiers, or these are probably more like police officers now, he tells them not to hurt anyone or to accuse anyone falsely of any crime and to be content with their pay and not to take bribes. And he told the rich people to give alms. Just as the Holy Ghost sent St. John the Baptist out to preach before the coming of Christ, so he sends him to us every year before our annual celebration of Christmas. And he comes in our Sunday Gospel today and tells us the same thing that he said 2,000 years ago. He tells us to do penance. We're not supposed to go and live in the desert, but we should follow our vocation in life as well as we can, and we should give up our sins. The church makes a big push twice a year to get people to do penance with these two seasons of Advent and Lent. And if you think about it, they're spaced about halfway apart, half of a year apart. And like a wise mother, she figures that people who practice the faith regularly should purify themselves more for these two beautiful feasts. And those people who live constantly in mortal sin should get out of it at least during these two times of the year. And our Holy Mother, the Church, hopes that people who are habitual sinners will hopefully, with the grace of God, turn away from their sins permanently at one of these times. Or even if they don't persevere for very long in their repentance, they're at least doing more than they otherwise would have. And there is a small chance that they might die during one of these two times of holiness in the year and save their souls. So it increases their odds of salvation by just a little bit. And hence we have the great precursor in the gospel today telling us to do penance. And this is the last call before Christmas, because we only have a few days left. St. John Chrysostom gives us five different ways of doing penance. Of course, penance means turning away from our sins and confessing them and getting back into sanctifying grace. But he describes five methods of doing this, or five ways that we can prepare our souls for this important work. The first way is to have a great hatred for our sins. This is very important because someone who hates his former sins will persevere better in his change of heart than someone who really is drawn to his sins and only gives them up very reluctantly. Someone can certainly be absolved in confession, even if he's very reluctant about giving up his sins, as long as he has made up his mind that he wants to do that. But it is a very weak foundation, and that person will fall back very easily. So someone in that situation should do penance according to this first method of St. John Chrysostom. They should have a great hatred for their sins. And in order to arouse in themselves this hatred, they need to think about the punishment that their sins bring upon them. They should remember that they lose their eternal salvation by whatever sins they are attached to. They should think about the destruction that this sin has caused in their lives. And they should be angry about it, angry towards themselves with a holy anger. Nobody should look back longingly towards the past, the sins that they've committed in the past. That's a sin just by itself to do that. And most of all, people need to flee whatever will cause them to fall back into their former sins. I heard a vivid story recently on the radio about a prominent radio personality, local talk show host, who had been an alcoholic in his past. And so he had given up drinking completely, hadn't had a drink in some number of years. He said on the radio that one day he was in a restaurant. He was at some fancy reception, and they brought out the dessert course. They put the dessert in front of everybody there, and it was some kind of cake, and it had whipped cream on it. And he took one bite of it, and he could taste right away that the whipped cream had been flavored with some sort of liqueur. It was probably a tiny amount. But he jumped right out of his seat, right in the middle of the reception, with the food in his mouth. And he ran straight out of the restaurant to find a bathroom where he could spit out the food out of his mouth. There was no bathroom on that floor in this building where he was. He had to go and push the button and wait for the elevator and hold his food in his mouth to go up to another floor so that he could spit it out. He couldn't take a chance on even that little taste triggering a craving for alcohol that he might not be able to handle. Now, his reasons for doing this were only natural, but still, he's a very smart man to do what he did. He didn't savor it and roll it on his tongue and say, "Oh, I wish I could have a drink right now." No, he ran. He hated his former drunkenness, and he just ran from anything that might bring it back. And we should be the same way with the sins that we are attached to or have a problem with, and just run from even the smallest thing that might trigger temptation. The second way to do penance, according to St. John Chrysostom, is to forgive others. Our Lord said repeatedly in the Gospels that if we forgive others, God will forgive us very easily. If we think to ourselves that our sins against God are so much greater and worse than any offense that a human being has committed against us, and if we dismiss offenses against ourselves easily for that reason, that shows a great spirit of penance and charity and humility in our own hearts. And we have our Lord's guarantee that that will bring God's mercy upon us. Third way to do penance is by prayer. Of course, this is one of the four purposes of prayer, to ask God for pardon for our sins. We should all do penance by this means, of course, by praying to God for forgiveness and asking Him to strengthen us against our sins. We spend so much time praying for things that are so trivial and praying for things of this world that are passing or for material things. Let us at least once in a while pray to God to protect us from sin. And that also shows God that we have a great love for Him because we don't want to offend Him. The fourth way to do penance is by giving alms. Scripture constantly promotes almsgiving as a powerful means to obtain mercy for our sins. We deny ourselves our love of material possessions as an act of mortification. And St. John the Baptist recommends people to use that in the gospel today. And his advice is still good. The scripture tells us constantly that giving alms has a great power to put out the fire of our sins. And lastly, St. John Chrysostom says that we should do penance by practicing humility. Sin is the result of pride, and we need to humble ourselves in order to be forgiven. We think of the publican kneeling in the back of the temple, striking his breast and saying, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." He doesn't make any excuse for anything. The publican in the story doesn't say, "Yeah, I committed this sin, but someone else provoked me." He doesn't say, "I've been doing better lately, but I just have one little thing that I did. Other than that, I've been good." He doesn't say, "I really tried hard, but I really just couldn't overcome that one time when I had a temptation." No, there's no excuse from this man. He just says that he is sinful and he wants God to forgive him. And as we see in that parable, it worked. God was pleased. And if we do that too, we will have the same effect. So let us use these five methods of penance of St. John Chrysostom, especially during the last few days of Advent that we have remaining, and purify our souls for the coming of our Savior. Because, as St. John the Baptist says, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.